VentureCast.
That's an excellent choice. Clint, where are you going?
I'm going to go to my second stage afternoon show on Saturday.
Okay.
I'm going to have Huey Lewis and the News performing sports in its entirety.
Oh, my God, dude. You just really murdered it. You're going to follow up the Beatles, Prince, and Michael Jackson with Huey Lewis and the News. That's the thing that's actually happening to me right now in real time. That's occurring.
Ben, we are big Huey Lewis fans on our podcast.
Adrian Ballou is going to sit in for the whole
That's what I'm talking about.
And honestly, you know my feelings on Adrian Ballou. That would improve it.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Fellas, how are you today? This is great. Once again, a Synergy podcast.
Unbelievable. Band back together.
We're getting the band back together. Clint and Rich, how is the podcast going?
It has been epic, man. Oh, my Lord. We just put out our most epic episode ever this week.
Yes, you did.
It was long and awesome.
I like it. It's a very provocative topic, too. I really wish... Well, maybe we'll get Ben's 30-second take on your take on the Grateful Dead, because I can't wait for Ben to weigh in on that.
Ben and Tim, the question this week is for this week's episode was, what's the deal with the Grateful Dead?
Okay.
And we decided arbitrarily to choose 8 reasons why Clint and I believe that they are the most important American band of all time.
There's the face. There's the Ben eyebrows.
It's real. It's real. But it wasn't just us. We enlisted some heavy hitters. We got some big. Got some fairly big names on
you
that.
You did. You had relatives. You had associates.
We had Graham,
very impressive.
Graham Lesh, son of Phil Lesh, who's in a great band himself, Midnight North. And we had Steve Silverman, who, Jeff, you know Steve Silverman.
I remember Steve. I was so happy to see him pop up again. It's awesome.
And he is sort of an elder statesman among deadheads, and wrote a really definitive book called Skeleton Key, which is sort of a anthropological deep dive into the world of deadheads.
All right.
He wrote the liner notes to a couple of box sets too.
Yeah. And he's writing the liner. He's like best friends with David Crosby. He's writing the liner notes to the 50th anniversary of his first debut album.
Okay. Well, this is great. Ben, you don't need to weigh in. Do you want to weigh in? Do you have
pleased that they got an unbiased jury. They got people who can really look at this, you know, on all sides.
Objectively, that's good. So Rich and Clint from the Age Old Question podcast are here. Jeff, Ben, and I are here from 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys here on the Drive-In Podcast Network. And what we've got for you today is a fantasy draft of the greatest music festival anyone's ever been to. So you guys are going to pick your bands, pick your artists, create this music festival. I've got 9 different slots from Friday to Sunday, and whoever comes up with the best music podcast, music festival gets a prize.
Yay!
Yay!
I can't wait for
last time you gave us some criteria. Are you going to give us criteria?
I will. But before I get to that, tonight, Ben Barton, we're going live and we got to promote this. We've got to talk about the fact that we have made it from 1969 all the way to 2020. And so we're going live tonight, and you can find that link on our website, the Drive-In Podcast Network, on our Facebook page, on Twitter, on the Insta. You could find the link if you want the link. If you can't find the link, you can even email me at timothyplain@gmail.com. I'll send you the link so you can celebrate with us. Rich, Clint, name this song.
Looks like we made it.
that was not called for, Tim, and that was not sanctioned or cleared.
I cannot.
I have heard that song, but I couldn't tell you what it is.
You don't know the artist? What? Oh, I was sure you would know. Tim's
right. I don't know it either.
Oh my God, who are you people?
But we finally made it.
We're not quite 50.
That's right. You'll know it kicks in when you're 50. That's pretty peppy little tune there.
That is Barry Manilow. Looks like we made it.
That's definitely before our time for sure. That's
I guess I know one artist who will not be at your music festival. Okay.
Here all right, my Friday night opener.
Wait, before we get into this, yes, guys, please. I just want to congratulate you because what you undertook and what you delivered was just an incredible effort and such good entertainment and content, and we thank you for it.
Oh,
too kind.
Thank you. Yeah. All we do is show up. That's all we do. On a weekly basis.
It is kind of true. We're like, we have the frantic pre-125-second preparation. I actually did like 10 minutes of homework for this, though. I'm not getting Adrian Blue today. I'm feeling pretty good.
That's right, because you're going to do King Crimson, right? Isn't that the
first Friday night, headliner? First slot. King Crimson, red lineup.
All right, so what you're doing is you are finding a headliner for your music festival. The Friday night headliner, the Saturday night headliner, the Sunday night headliner. You also need a band on the second stage for like Saturday afternoon, evening, Sunday afternoon, evening. Then you're going to need someone funky for Friday at midnight and Saturday at midnight for a little dance party. And then I need a Saturday morning chill and a Sunday morning chill on a small stage. And I'll let you define chill any way you want.
I just want to point out that if I attend this music festival, I'm sleeping through the chill stages. I made choices, but I'm disinterested in that moment of the festival.
Barry Manilow.
And hey, Tim.
Okay.
Is this summer 2021, or is the audience ageless? Like, I know the bands are ageless, right? We can choose any band anytime
from 1960 to 2021. Any band at the height of their powers. I want this to be your festival. So I don't want you to think about the rest of the crowd, the age group, or anything like that. Oh my God, I went to the best music festival this weekend. And here, you won't believe who played. Here's who I saw.
I have another stipulation.
All right, Clint's stretching. Clint's ready. Okay.
Clint's ready. When I thought about who belongs on what stage, I was thinking about the size of the act in the moment that I chose them, right? So, like, you can't cheat and say, like, well, I choose, you know, Black Sabbath at their first gig and a club in front of 20 people, so they're my Saturday. It has to be a tour that played that size arena, that size thing, or Ben's just cheating wildly. He doesn't care.
First of all, I'm not cheating. You're announcing the rules during the game. You're literally announcing it during the game. It's not cheating for me to be like, I don't agree to these rules, but I didn't agree to beforehand.
You can't put Led Zeppelin on the second stage Saturday afternoon.
That's why, I mean, I'm agreeing with Jeff Simons here. Like, a second stage is a second stage, so you're not going to put the Beatles on the second stage. They don't belong there. Sorry.
Well, unless that's, I mean,
unless it's like the Cavern Club Beatles.
I'm fine with that. I just want to know what the deal is.
All right. I think it's on a separate but related topic.
Okay.
You may recall.
Oh, Jeff.
Last time we went Clint, Jeff, Rich, me.
Yes.
I think it's only fair to just reverse the order.
No. I've got the sheets of paper right here.
No way. No, because you did not do it randomly last time. You totally screwed me last time, and now you're going to re-screw me this time. No chance.
Here we go. We might lose Ben. Ben's going to quit the podcast right here at 2020. Here we go. First pick in the draft is Jeff. Second pick, Clint. Third pick, Ben.
Oh, wow. Thank
you. And then we have Rich. And it is a snake order. Jeff Simons, you are on the clock.
How does it work? Are we doing each slot all together and moving down?
No, you pick wherever you want to fill in.
So I got to figure out who's most likely to swipe. I got to figure out the how to screw all of you in your first.
You got some strategy. All right. No doubt about it.
I'm going to start by filling. I don't know. I'm not going to do that to Ben. I'm going to pick my main stage headliner Friday night.
Let's go.
So the first slot of this thing at the Tim Plain Music and Arts Festival, because I'm not in any way trying to curry the judge's favor. On the main stage Friday night, from 1968, using his classic trio, playing a set similar to the one he played at the Winterland Ballroom, I'm going with the Jimi Hendrix Experience. Classic trio, Hendrix, Noel Redding, Mitch Mitchell, 75 to 90 minutes of Hendrix at his absolute prime. The one artist that everybody wishes they had seen and the fewest number of rock fanatics got to. That's my first pick.
That's a great pick.
Solid.
Number one pick off the board, Jimi Hendrix. The anchor of Ben Barton's band is now gone.
But Clint. Ben's got two others that he's super happy I didn't pick. So that's my olive branch to you, brother.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, my festival, first of all, is called the Definitive Works Music and Art Festival.
Okay.
And it's called DW, but I'm calling it D-Dubs.
Okay. We got a,
that means
we got a title.
Each artist is going to perform their definitive work. So my main stage Saturday night headliner is the Beatles performing Abbey Road with the London Symphony Orchestra.
Wait. You can't invent shows that never happened. Then I want Jesus Christ to sing the Beatitudes. Like, wait a minute. I thought the whole point was it had to be a show that actually existed. You get the Beatles playing for 22 minutes in Tokyo if you want the Beatles.
Nope.
You can't invent shows.
This is the problem with the Beatles. As you guys can probably imagine, I was thinking, well, maybe it should be the Beatles. But yeah, as Jeff said, they played for 22 minutes. Their Shea Stadium show was like, you know, 26 minutes long.
It's the longest show they ever played, 35 minutes, 11 minutes of which is screaming.
Is that true? They didn't give a two-hour concert anywhere?
25 minutes is their longest set.
I mean, they played 12 hours in Hamburg.
Clint, you're going to have to talk to their manager, and you're going to have to get them to play a little longer.
So you can only take actual shows that occurred?
No, Jeff's going too far there.
Trot those guys out.
For Christ.
I'm going. Definitive Works. Beatles coming back from the, you know, it's happening.
That's a very good show. We'll bring John Lennon back from the dead and put him in. They'll play Abbey Road with the London Symphony Orchestra. Fine.
I'm worried about the cost of housing the orchestra there for your festival.
By the way, the tickets to your festival are $1 million to cover that show.
This is my music festival.
That's right. Ben Barton, who's your first pick?
I will take Rolling Stones, Get Your Ya-Ya's Out era.
Which night?
Oh, Saturday night.
Saturday night, the Stones. Excellent.
Going with Ya-Ya's over the Goat's Head Soup Tour?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just happy I know who pick. All right, Rich Price.
All right, well, I seem to remember you telling me that if a band was chosen, I couldn't choose an artist from that band. Is that correct?
That's correct. Paul McCartney's gone.
All right, I will not choose Paul McCartney, but let me tell you a little story.
Okay.
In June of 1990, I got on a train with my cousin John. We went about an hour north from London to a one-day festival called Nebworth.
Okay.
That day, me and John and 120,000 other people saw the first couple bands are bands you guys probably don't care about, and I didn't really. Cliff Richard and the Shadows, Status Quo, Tears of Fear. Fears, but then it gets to Dire Straits.
Okay.
Eric Clapton, Elton John, Phil Collins, and then Mike Rutherford and Tony Banks come out and they play a Genesis set. Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, Pink Floyd, and then who closes the show?
Paul McCartney. That's a festival. Jeepers.
Wow. So had I had the option, I would have chosen Paul McCartney. Okay, but I'm not going to choose.
You would have gone with that whole festival.
I'm going to choose a random date from this artist's 1980 tour. And he dies about 9 months later in 1981. But on this night, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Bob Marley plays Natural Mystic, Positive Vibration, Them Belly Full, War, No More Trouble, No Woman, No Cry, Jammin', Exodus, Redemption Song, Coming In From the Cold, Could You Be Loved, Is This Love, Get Up, Stand Up. Earlier in the tour, he was playing songs like I Shot the Sheriff, Lively Up Yourself, Roots Rock Reggae, Trenchtown Rock, Natty Dread, Easy Skanking, Steer It Up, Time Will Tell, One Love, right. People Get Ready, Waiting in Vain, Keep on Moving. Opening night of my festival is Bob Marley.
Bob Marley, and that's a great start. And now you get to further define your festival with another pick.
Okay, night two of my festival, the headliner is picking a night from their Achtung Baby tour.
Yeah.
U2. Playing songs like Even Better Than the Real Thing, Mysterious Ways, One, Until the End of the World, New Year's Day, Trying to Throw Your Arms Around the World, Angel of Harlem, When Love Come to Town, Running to Stand Still, Whether Streets Have No Name, I Still Haven't Found, Pride in the Name of Love, Desire, With or Without You. That was that was the set from that tour, and they are the headliners for my second night.
I like the Joshua Tree show better, but that's a great
So the good festival, pick. The Rich Price Festival is a banger so far. Ben, what are you going to follow up with the Stones?
Okay. So this is a little bit Clint-y in that I'm going to mix it a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's the Jay-Z and Kanye did in fact tour.
Okay.
And Jay-Z and Kanye did in fact each do their own set and then do a set together.
Okay.
And the Jay-Z show at Bonnaroo was off the hook. It's one of the best shows. It's probably the best rap show I've ever seen. It was so good. So we're going to have that band. Jay-Z appears with a band, and it's going to go Jay-Z, then the two of them together, then Kanye, then they come back out and do the encore together.
Which night?
That's Friday night. Get us started.
Friday night is Jay-Z and Kanye. Wow. All right, Clint.
All right, we're going to go main stage Friday night at the Definitive Works Music and Arts Festival.
D-dubs.
Prince and the Revolution performing Purple Rain in its entirety.
So you've got Prince and the Beatles. Friday.
I would go to that festival.
That'd be a good festival.
I like it.
Jeff Simons, what do you got?
I'm going to have Johann Sebastian Bach and Beethoven play their complete... No, I'm sorry. I'm still recovering from the wild cardness. Saturday night headliner.
That would be pretty banging.
I'm going to go with another band that millions of people wish they had seen and didn't, because even though they did a couple of one-offs and they did an ill-conceived tour of surviving members in 95 at their height, they were never really seen very often. So from the 1975 era, playing 3 hours and 45 minute sets, I'm going to go with Led Zeppelin, 1975 tour, Saturday night. 150,000 people, lasers, 20-minute version of Trampled Underfoot, complete bombastic, ridiculous silliness. But
everything... So, Jeff, I was going to choose that exact tour, but I was going to have a contract rider that said at 10 minutes, the amps go off. Like, you cannot have a song that goes longer than 10 minutes.
But in particular, no it's quarter the no, on those shows.
It's the 25-minute no quarter that just kills you for sure. And also no drum solo. You cannot have the 18-minute Moby Dick. That's not okay.
What we're about lasers?
We're just going to pump acid through one of those water sprayers into the crowd so everybody's into it. Everyone's going to just be completely out of their minds. Led Zeppelin 75 Saturday night.
All right. You get
Hendrix Zeppelin. That's a pretty good Friday, Saturday night.
Now, are you going to go to a smaller stage? Or are you going to close out the headliners right now, Jeff?
Oh, that's right. I get to go again. Who am I most likely to lose? I'm going to grab one of my midnight shows because it's getting thin down there. It's going to kill Ben. The Friday night midnight dance stage will be James Brown and the Love Power Peace Band, Bootsy Collins, 1971, the funkiest night of anyone's life. Maybe the only band that could give Prince and the Revolution a run for their money over on the main stage. I'm going James Brown, 71, Friday night.
Oh, it's a great lineup so far. Clint, what do you got?
All right, I'm going to close out my Sunday night headliner.
Okay.
I'm going to get Michael Jackson performing Thriller.
So you have
I got
Prince, the Beatles, and Michael Jackson at your festival. I love it.
It's expensive. It's expensive.
He's just going to do the dancing on the car and grabbing himself from the black and white video. That's just going to be the show. Myself on stage.
Ben Barton, where do you put your pick?
I'll go Radiohead 2006, the exact Bonnaroo show.
Sunday night?
Yep.
It's on my list. Good call.
It was.
You can make a call for Glastonbury 97. It's a toss-up for me, those two sets.
Rich Price, you've got two picks coming your way.
Okay. So my first of those two is my last headliner.
Okay.
And Clint and I have had the opportunity to work on a music benefit series called Hug Your Farmer.
Okay.
And one of the Hug Your Farmers we did was The Last Waltz by the Band. And it was Clint.
Oh, come on.
Like one of the best nights of our lives. We had John Fishman on drum. Clint was the band leader. We had Ray Paskowski on keys. We had Russ Lawton from Tranastasio Band. We had Bob Wagner. We had just an incredible lineup of sit-ins.
Five horns.
And
now, it was like the guy who did the last waltz on trumpet.
He brought all the horn charts from the
original
horn. How amazing.
And obviously, for those of you who don't know, the last waltz, after years of touring, first as the Hawks, the backing band to Ronnie Hawkins, then as Dylan's band, and then as their own band, they called The Band because that's just what everyone called them.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving of 1976, they said farewell with a show at the Winterland Ballroom in San Francisco. They had sit-in performances from Muddy Waters, Neil Young, Van Morrison, Joni, Dr. John, Neil Diamond, Clapton, Emmylou Harris, the Staple Singers. Performing those songs is one of the most fun I've ever had, and listening to those songs is incredible. So I'm going The Band performing The Last Waltz.
Terrific. Now, Now, those individual guests that came out, you don't claim them, right?
I'm not claiming them.
That'd be so cold.
I wouldn't play you like that.
I'm going to claim Live Aid. Rich, what's your second pick there in the
snake? I'm going to go to the Midnight Dance Stage.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Madonna.
Oh, crap.
Clint can tell you, and this is the reason he's so mad at me, is that when his band plays, is it Like a Virgin?
No, Like a Prayer.
Like a prayer.
Yeah, people go
when
crazy.
His band plays that, people go crazy. People take their shirts off.
Jeff and I experienced that at Oxford down in that cellar pub. Jeff would play Like a Virgin. I mean, Like a Prayer, and the women would literally go crazy. It was good.
Yeah, Clint's
Jeff,
band
Jeff played it on a loop.
Clint's band has played the Middlebury reunion every year for what, 15 years?
Yeah, forever. Yeah.
So I've sat in with him a couple times, and maybe 5 years ago I sat in with him, and he's like, "Yeah, we're." I could see they're about to play this song. He's like, watch. Within 30 seconds, they're like half the people in the audience will not have their shirts on. And sure enough, there's just something about that music and people love it. So I'm going Madonna for my Midnight Dance Stage.
That's the same night that Rich was like, I'm just going to come up for a song. I'm just going to do the first two songs and then I'll sit down. Stayed up for 2.5 hours.
That's great. All right, Ben Barton, you've got Jay-Z, Kanye, you've got the Rolling Stones, you've got Radiohead, you've got your headliners all set. Where do you go from here?
Dance show.
Yep.
Beyonce with a drum line.
Oh.
And I get Beyonce to sit in with Jay-Z and Kanye. Because there's a lot of synergy between those acts. But the Coachella Beyonce show with a drum line is so off the hook, unbelievable. It's
incredible. Yeah.
It's the best. I look and stare so deep in your eyes. I touch on you more and more every time. When you leave, I'm begging you not to go. Call your name 2-3 times in a row. Such a funny thing for me to try to explain. How I'm feeling and my pride is the one to blame. Yeah. I still don't understand just how you look at doing no one else can. Excellent choice.
Clint, where are you going?
I'm going to go to my second stage afternoon show on Saturday.
Okay.
I'm going to have Huey Lewis and the News performing sports in its entirety.
Oh my God, dude, you just really murdered it. You're going to follow up the Beatles, Prince, and Michael Jackson with Huey Lewis in the News. That's the thing that's actually happening to me right now in real time. That's occurring.
Ben, we are big Huey Lewis fans on our podcast.
Adrian Belew is going to sit in for the whole
That's what I'm talking about.
And honestly, you know my feelings on Adrian Belew. That would improve it. I would be like, well, that's interesting. Because I really need the work. But hitting up my body's got me feeling like the jerk.
So psyched Huey Lewis and the News to play this. They're my, I'm a huge Huey Lewis and the News fan. Huge.
They're leading into the Beatles. That's your Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
What's better?
Now, tomato.
And it's also in sports. Like,
Oh, it's the greatest.
Here's the problem with your greatest works thing is you don't get Power of Love. Like, you don't get his best song.
Yeah, maybe he encores with it. I don't know.
Here's the thing. What's great about this is Huey's a gettable artist. Like, he right now, the only festival that's likely to get booked is Clint's.
No, he can't hear. I don't think he's digging. He's got
He's not. He's got the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He can't hear.
All right. Jeff Simons, you get two picks.
Two picks. Well, let's see. I'm gonna go with both my afternoon shows, because I got a feeling there's music nerds here that might pick them off.
This is gonna be a run.
On the afternoon stage on Saturday, I'm going with back to 1975 for a tour that only played in 2,000 to 3,000 seat theaters. It's another big, long, rambling 3-hour show where the band plays about 45, brings out the main artist. He does an hour and a half. They go back to the other guys. They come back for 7 or 8. It's Bob Dylan's Rolling Thunder Review show, supporting essentially Blood on the Tracks and Desire from 1975. That's my Saturday night afternoon.
Saturday afternoon, yeah.
Saturday afternoon, I guess, leading into Led Zeppelin. On the fifth day of May, but I could not hold on to her very long. So I cut off my hair and I looked straight away for the wild unknown country where I could not go wrong. Not bad.
Real quick, because I've seen Dylan a bunch of times, but all those times were well after 1975. Was he at one time a dynamic live performer?
If you haven't heard Dylan on the Rolling Thunder Review, right, you haven't heard Bob Dylan. You could make the argument that I should pick 1966 with the band, but it's not a good festival show. He plays for an hour straight, acoustic, dead silent, and the band comes out and they roar through the Highway 61 songs. This is like a party. It's just like one song after another, bang, bang, bang. And it's super intense. And it's a killer band.
Right. And Nick, I can Johnson find this. From the I can find Stardust this on the band, internet.
Rob Stoner. It's great stuff.
Bob Dylan, Rolling Thunder.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to find that.
I will lead into, I'm going to grab the Sunday afternoon headliner. I don't think this is in danger, but since I'm on the thing, and since what would be a rock festival without Adrian Belew, I'm putting the Talking Heads' Remain in Light show in the Sunday afternoon set. One of my favorite live records of all time is called The Name of This Band is Talking Heads. You could say that Stop Making Sense is equally good. I don't really care. It's the same band from 80 to 84. Pick a night. The most exceptional live new wave act ever, and an incredible Sunday afternoon, just dancing your ass off heading into the Sunday night headliner, who I hope will not get cherry picked between now and my next. Oh, so there we go.
Clint, you have started a run on the afternoon second stage bands. Are you going to continue?
I am. I'm going to take my second stage afternoon on Saturday, or did I already do Saturday? This would be Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
Is going to be Pearl Jam performing 10 in its entirety. So it would be 90.
That won't be hard to get into, the side tent Pearl Jam show.
It's a small stage.
That's a redemptive pick. That's good stuff right there.
I like that you went with Huey first in case we were going to take him, and saved Pearl Jam for the next pick. Like,
buddy, I didn't want to lose Huey.
Awesome.
Come on.
It's an anchor. Ben Barton, where you go?
Oh, my feelings were hurt. I was just about to take Pearl Jam. Yeah, I'll do. I'll just follow that up with Nirvana.
And is this Saturday afternoon?
Yeah,
all right.
Is it the 92 Redding band?
It is. And you know, it might be a little crowded, but that's the show.
All right, Rich Price, what about these afternoon shows? Are you going to go to those stages? Nobody's interested in the Sunday morning chill. Come on.
I'm going to do a Sunday morning chill for you.
All right.
Get a mimosa. Be bold enough to pick yourself.
No,
it would be great on the Sunday morning chill stage.
That is a rule. I say you cannot.
No.
You cannot pick yourself.
No, I am picking an artist whose debut album is I would put in my top 5 albums. She was signed to a record label on the strength of these demos. Went into the studio twice with 2 different producers, 2 different sets of session musicians. Both times those records were rejected by her label, and she devastated. She said, you know what, if you why don't you just release my demos? And that's what they did. And the demos of the debut album is called Living with Ghosts. It's Patty Griffin.
Good pick. I saw that show. Wow. Fantastic.
And Saturday or Sunday?
This is Saturday.
They're getting ready to tell. It's falling from the skies. It's calling from the graves. Open your eyes, boy. I think we are saved. Open your eyes, boy. I think we are saved.
I mean, that's just so good.
Wow. Jeff Simons, you'll understand why that is such a smart pick by him. Because he was out till 2 a.m. with that Madonna of yours, Justify My Love, probably drinking too much, a little ecstasy. He needs to get up with Patty Griffin. Yeah.
Very good. I was up all night storming Valhalla with the Led Zeppelin gods, so I'm pretty tired also.
For people who don't know Patty Griffin, you should check her out.
Oh, and she's awesome.
Jeff, I know you love that record too.
Big fan of that record.
All right. What's your second pick, Rich?
My second pick is a guy who I've seen maybe half dozen times as a paying audience member, but my band, The Sweet Remains, has opened for him. Clint's played with me when we opened for him. He is probably my favorite singer, the best singer I've ever seen. His name is Martin Sexton.
Oh, sure.
And he's just an incredible performer in that I mentioned he's an incredible singer. He's also a really unusual guitar player in that he plays bass lines and chords at the same time. I'm going to play you guys a little bit of a song of his called Beast in Me, which showcases that, how he plays the bass, how he sings, but he also plays the guitar, does guitar solos with his voice, singing through a microphone. It's incredible. Here it goes. Drove away from the side. I said, welcome to Hollywood.
Here comes the guitar solo. Wasn't this used in a Geo Prism ad?
Was it? I don't think so. So he steps over to another mic, and he sings into the mic like it's a guitar solo. Here it comes.
That's his voice?
Yes.
Wow.
Anyway, he's incredible.
That's nuts.
So.
Wow.
What stage is that?
That's my Sunday chill.
Yep.
Doesn't sound very chill, but okay. sounds pretty worked up.
Tim said we could define chill however we want.
That's right.
I'm gonna put death metal on my second chill stage. Then yeah. I'll know.
We all have our own chill. Ben all Barton, right. Where are you gonna go next?
Speaking of the chill stage, nice. I'm definitely going to win the chill stage. I get Joni Mitchell, 1970.
Should have done it.
Easy one.
Damn it. Is that Saturday morning?
That's whichever.
Joni's on Saturday.
Should have gone with Joni in the last round. I played that so poorly.
All right. Clint, what do you got?
I'm going to go Sunday morning chill. And I'm going to do Simon and Garfunkel, like live in Central Park.
All right.
That show, like around there.
Simon Garfunkel after.
Shouldn't you have to choose one of their records based on your previous criteria?
Well, I mean, it is a record. It came out. It's
oh my God. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I love it.
That's awesome.
The record they'll be performing is their greatest hits record.
Rich and so I love Jeff, greatest hits records.
Jeff Simons, you have a noticeable gap in that you don't have a headliner to close out your music festival.
Yeah, let's take care of that. This right, is no surprise to anybody who's ever met me or heard me ever talk about music. Ever. Yeah. I know. Go with The Who.
Who?
1970, the Tommy Tour, 45 minutes of greatest hits to warm up. Tommy gate to gate through for an hour and 10, and then the My Generation Magic Bus ending 2 hours and 25 minutes of potentially rock music at its most thunderous. And you could make
dude, you get none of the Who's next material. You don't get any of the Who's next. That's a problem.
I thought about 71, but the problem with the 71 tour is they're playing the backing track tapes for the first time, and so that's a little bit hit and miss. I could go with 70, either one, the Who's 70 or the Who's 71, whichever one you guys prefer. They'll show up and burn down the stadium. The best band, the best live band on the earth from 69 to 72.
What?
Without
I'm question. Just looking at your lineup. You're old. You're old. You're an old person.
I believe this whole thing started with build your music festival. All right, is that a setup to give me a bunch of shit halfway through? This is cold-blooded, man.
I go Hendrix,
Zeppelin, The Who, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I got the two afternoons. I'm going to go with the midnight Saturday night and ruin somebody because this is a music festival, is it not? And aren't music festivals supposed to have at least one jam band in them? I believe they are.
Don't do it.
They shouldn't. If we're going to have a jam band, we have the quintessential jam band. And wouldn't a music festival that features a band playing from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. that isn't a funk band shake it up a little bit? So I'm going to take the anytime from March 1972 to December 1973. Take your pick. Take your three set night. The Grateful Dead playing my music festival, playing the midnight Saturday night. You go see Zeppelin. You go take an hour to pull yourself together. And then you go dance to the Grateful Dead till
first
dawn.
Of all, it's supposed to be a dance party.
It is
you've got the party. You've got the people who can't dance party. Like that's not working out for you at all.
Have you been twirling. To a music festival?
Twirling
these people
is dancing.
Are gonna need a night
twirling
like that.
Twirling is not dancing.
I'm sorry, that's right. The ultimate music festival, spin around in a circle, dance jam band. The Dead play all night Saturday night for me.
Love it. Love it. All right, good stuff. Now we go to Clint.
All right. I am going to do my Saturday morning chill stage.
Okay.
And this is how I define chill. I'm going to have Pink Floyd play Dark Side of the Moon and Wish You Were Here back to back. I mean, that's pretty chill, right? Nobody's like losing their minds, but I would love to see that.
They're actually going to write and record and create the wall live on stage for everybody too after that.
So you'll just be sitting there with a cup of coffee,
lawn chair, probably some weed and
Pink Floyd. Who says no?
Okay. Come on.
I love it.
I definitely say no to the 18 minute Welcome to the Machine. I'm extra no on that. That's like where I'm like, oh, I guess it's time for me to go get a beer. And then I come back. I'm like, still? I'm like, I guess I go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom and come back. I'm like, what?
Still? All right, Ben Barton, what's your next pick?
All right. I think I still have a dance party song left.
Indeed.
Have a little 1971. I don't want nobody.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty great. I left that for you. I thought if I took James Brown and Aretha Franklin, you wouldn't talk to me for like a month. So
Beyonce and Aretha.
Yes. Wow.
That is pretty good. Rich, two picks coming your way.
Am I correct in saying that no one has picked Stevie Wonder?
That is correct.
He's going to be my second dance midnight dance stage.
At midnight is Stevie Wonder. That's pretty great.
I think some of Stevie's songs are the best dance songs ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, which, here's the problem.
For Duke, tour? I wish.
Yeah.
Which tour are you taking?
The dancey one.
The good one.
The one where he plays all the dance songs.
Well, that's the problem. No, he doesn't have that definitive tour. That's why I didn't pick him, because I thought we were doing actual life, like things that happened. Like, if you want to invent Stevie Wonder and the Wonderland Band holding it together and touring in 1977 and playing all those songs, then
But Clint's one is the Beatles playing Abbey Road.
I mean, if Clint gets the Beatles.
Yeah, I didn't get. I thought that was
conducted by God with the orchestra. You get Stevie Wonder. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, I love all it. Right. What do you got?
I don't think I've picked a second stage. Have I got my?
You haven't done the second stages at all.
Okay. So I'm going to go with a band called the Buena Vista Social Club.
Sure.
For my second stage. When that record came out, Ry Cooder pulled together, you know, brought together some musicians from the Cuban jazz scene from the 50s and before. That record was incredible, and we need a little world music at my festival. So the Buena Vista Social Club.
I feel like your festival is gonna teach people. You're gonna enlighten people. You're gonna make the world a better place.
Thank you,
Ben. Are you making the world a better place?
First of all, I do not go to a festival to make the world a better place. Let's just make that clear. Second, my understanding is I've got one more chill stage and one more second stage.
That's correct.
Okay. I am going to choose Phoebe Bridgers for the chill stage.
Okay.
I'm going to choose Phoebe Bridgers because she's my daughter's favorite artist. This is my daughter, Dahlia. And basically, I want the whole mix. I want generations of people. I don't want only 50-year-old white guys at these shows. And Phoebe Bridgers is electric. She's great.
Okay. Good stuff. Clint, your second to last pick, you've got your two midnight shows, right?
Yeah, I got two midnight shows. For my Friday night midnight show, I'm going to have Bruno Mars play.
Friday night, Bruno Mars.
We're going to dance our asses off.
Okay.
I can't name you an album that he does, but I can tell you that
he's dancing. Violent.
He's going to play Uptown Funk for 3 hours and everyone is happy.
Love great. It.
I love it.
So, Jeff Simons, you are closing out your music festival.
There we go. I can't believe I'm going to get to do this, but since everyone's changing roles back and forth, for Saturday morning chill, I'm going to take an artist just before he's about to blow up. I'm going back to 1975 yet again, and a guy who's put out two records, neither of which is charted, who has been barnstorming colleges and small clubs up and down the East Coast 150 nights a year, finally gets his third record together. And right before it goes out, he plays a week at the Roxy in Los Angeles in a bunch of 400 seat shows for, super fans and executives. It's a 2 hour and 15 minute show. It features long, wild tales. It's got short little rock and roll covers. It is actually my favorite recording of this guy, and I have a lot of them, from the 1975 club tour, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band on Saturday morning.
Teardrops on the city bird, scooter searching for his groove.
That's your chill?
That's my chill.
That's so chill, man.
Dude, London Symphony Orchestra, I'll take it. And then, and for real chill, since we're all breaking rules.
That's it. You don't get any real chill? No way. You can maybe leave. Maybe Max Weinberg gets to do a spoken word poem, but otherwise.
I have a Sunday pick.
He got a Sunday chill pick. Go ahead.
Since we're breaking the rules, I'm going to pick an artist for whom there might not be a live recording. And who was reclusive and so bothered by mental illness that he was never able to mount a tour, but whose records are among the most treasured Sunday morning chill records. So I will, if you can bring the London Symphony Orchestra and the Beatles back together, I can bring Nick Drake back from the dead, and he's my Sunday morning chill stage performing wow. Pink Moon and anything else that guy wants to do.
That is lovely. Okay.
That's my festival.
Well, let's get to the end, and then we'll announce everyone's lineup.
All right,
Clint, your Saturday midnight show.
My Saturday midnight show is going to be for the Jam Banders. I'm going to have the Fish play, and they're going to play all night. So we're going to go from the Beatles to Fish.
That's from a Huey Lewis to outhouse trip right there.
To the Beatles, to Fish.
It's a very confused audience.
Huey Lewis from the News to the Beatles,
the Beatles and to Fish. Let's go. Actually, it's better than that. Pink Floyd, Huey Lewis and the News, the Beatles and Fish.
That's a great day.
Those are some bookends there.
That was a great day. That was
Sunday afternoon, Ben Barton.
All right, keeping the kids interested, I'm going to bring in all the generations.
Okay.
This is a reclusive guy who hasn't played for years. I physically saw him at Bonnaroo, Frank Ocean, at the Chill Tent.
Huh. All right. Well, wait, no, your Chill Tents are done.
Oh, then the afternoon, whatever. Okay. That's fine. Same difference.
Whatever, I don't care.
It's going to be.
We'll just ask him to play a little more.
I care that Jeff followed the rules, but no one else.
Yeah. I mean, I've got Beyonce and Frank Ocean. Like, believe me, I'm not going to have trouble selling tickets to this.
Okay.
And like, the people who are heads for those acts will just be like, couldn't believe that we got Frank Ocean. They'll be really good. Okay.
And he's
and also, he can sit in with Kanye and Jay-Z. So now we've got the whole thing going.
Rich Price, your final band, Sunday afternoon, second stage.
Okay, my final band, second stage, is a band that really, one of the first super groups ever. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and I'm going to throw Neil Young in there. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Might as well, right?
Yeah, sure. It's a freebie.
He's around. He's available.
But I think there was a time when they actually pulled off a pretty compelling live show. The times that I saw them, they did not. But I think there were times when they did. And those are that's the band that I'm going to pick for my second stage.
A hearty recommendation. Impressive.
So are we all done?
Yes,
we are all done.
So I have a short list of how did these folks not make it into the show?
Go ahead.
Good.
Nobody picked David Bowie. Yeah. Ziggy Stardust tour would have been my choice. Nobody picked Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
That hurts.
Hard Promises tour. I don't know how I got in here without putting the Clash in the show, but I just couldn't figure out where. And then personally, it hurts my feelings that I didn't get Wilco, I didn't get Elvis Costello and the Attractions, and I didn't get REM into the festival. But
how is it that this group of people didn't choose Wilco?
I know.
And I think it's honestly that I've seen them 21 times. And so like I picked a lot of groups I never got to see, but
yeah,
that makes sense.
Also, I would have liked to see that Otis Redding live show from.
Oh, wow.
Yes. All right, that's the 25 minute problem too, right? Like,
I guess the album that I have is three different nights of this.
Right.
Right.
I almost picked as my dance set, the Motortown Review.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a little bit of a cheat, but that would have been good.
Smokey Robinson's, Marvin Gaye, Martha Vent and the Vandellas, Stevie, the Supremes, the Four Tops, Gladys Knight and the Pips, the Temptations.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
That would have been a pretty good.
It would have been a great backstage, too. That definitely would have been the show to be backstage for. without a question.
All right, ready? This is Jeff's lineup in order that you will see him when you go to his festival. Jeff's festival, Jimi Hendrix, and then James Brown. And then the next morning, Bruce Springsteen is going to kick off your day. Bob Dylan and the Rolling Thunder Tour. And then Saturday night will be Led Zeppelin. Saturday midnight, the Grateful Dead. Wake up for a little Nick Drake. Then you have the Talking Heads, followed by the Who.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
That's a good festival.
I'd pay like at least $25 to
attend that. The funniest thing is the stumbling in Saturday morning and you're like rubbing your eyes and Springsteen comes out and he's like just blows the gates off, screaming, like just losing his mind. That show is so high energy. I don't even know what's going to happen to the people in the crowd. Like they're going to be weeping.
Yeah.
Dear God, who is this?
That is my idea of a wake-up show. It's a perfect festival for me. For sure.
So, Clint, I go to your festival.
I come in,
D-dubs. Prince is going to open for me, followed by Bruno Mars. Then the next morning, it's Pink Floyd, followed by Huey Lewis of the News, followed by the Beatles headlining Saturday night. And then Saturday at midnight is the Fish show. Yes. I wake up Sunday morning. It's Simon and Garfunkel, followed by Pearl Jam and Michael Jackson.
Okay.
That is like one that. Heck. Oh,
strong.
One heck of a festival.
Huey is definitely like, what am I doing here? I'm in love with the band Saturday.
They're all like, they all want to sit in with Huey. Huey's playing so much harmonica on this festival.
That's right.
He's blowing with every band.
He's definitely up there with the Beatles on something.
All right.
Jeff remembers when our band played at Sweetwater in Mill Valley. Huey came up to sit in with us and we played Feeling All Right with him.
Oh, that's fine.
I made the mistake of pulling out my harmonica.
I remember that.
That was a poor decision.
It was fine. Are you kidding? Do you remember we tried to get him to play like 10 other songs? He was like, Feeling All Right's good.
Feeling all right.
That'll be fine. We knew all those Huey songs. We're like, we could do Working for a Living, or we could do. He's like, why don't we just do Feeling All Right? Do you remember he bought out the tab that night too? He paid for everyone's drinks and tipped every waitress $100.
He should. Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be classy though. That's great.
He's classy, sports, dude. Sports hit. Yeah, you should do that. All right, Ben, is it your turn?
Yeah, man.
I walk in the doors. It's Jay-Z and Kanye. And then that night, Beyonce with the dance party. Whew. I go to the Saturday chill for Joni Mitchell. Saturday afternoon, Nirvana. Saturday night, the Rolling Stones. And then Saturday at midnight, Aretha Franklin. That's a kick in 24 hours right there. I wake up for Sunday morning. This is where the kids come to the festival because Phoebe Bridgers is playing, followed by Frank Ocean. And then Radiohead Sunday night. Pretty great.
That's a good lineup.
You have thematic days, which is very nice too. I like that.
Cool.
That's very good.
Well, and he has people under 25 as well.
I know, dude. Like, so I was actually thinking about this, about the blend. And that's part of the reason why I have modern acts on it. Because one of the nice things about Bonnaroo is that there are people our age there. So it's not like if Jeff and I went to an EDM festival, it would be like we're like at a junior high dance. Like that would not be okay at all. So Bonnaroo's got people our age, but it's mostly the kids. And basically you really want a heavy layer of the kids at the festival. Like one of the things that's hard, I love Springsteen and I've seen him a whole bunch, even including recently, but you're down in the pit at a Springsteen show now and people are like, you know, why are you dancing? Stop bumping into me. And I'm like, listen,
it's Bruce Springsteen. You look around and you realize that, these are my peers.
No, dude, it's a Springsteen show. I'm like, I'm young and good looking. It's great.
All right. Rich Price, Bob Marley. Kicking off your Friday night. That's a great start. And who's going to follow him on the stage? Or the dance stage is Madonna. Pretty great. Saturday chill is Patty Griffin. Saturday afternoon, the Buena Vista Social Club. Saturday night, headliner, U2.
Ooh, that's a good day.
Saturday night at midnight is Stevie Wonder. Then I wake up for Martin Sexton. I've got Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Is Young with them?
Yes, yes. We got Young. Yes,
all right, we got dead. Young there as well.
Or dead in Ohio.
And then Sunday night, the band. That's interesting. Oh. So Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young leading into the band.
Oh, they're definitely sitting in together.
And that might have actually been a day of a festival. Like Rich actually designed one that might have actually happened.
Well, that's what he said. His whole English cheat sheet there, that festival he wanted to recreate.
That Bob Marley, losing Bob Marley and Joni Mitchell really hurt. Joni Mitchell especially hurt me. I really wanted her for one of my
children. Yeah, real quick. Anyone else get something stolen from them?
The James Brown and the Pearl Jam one just stabbed me in the heart. And I really wanted that first pick for the Beatles. That was the obvious first pick. And I was going to do the rooftop show. I know that would be short, but they could just play that show over and over again. They could play the show four times it and it'd be fine.
Wait, again?
See, I was gonna pick Paul McCartney over the Beatles, not because Paul McCartney is his solo career is better than the Beatles, but as a live performer, way better than the Beatles.
He'll play because a little the longer.
Beatles. Dude, that rooftop concert's amazing as a cultural moment, but they're out of practice. Like, I would not have picked the Beatles if I'd had 20 picks. I would have stayed away from them because of the Stones were the ones that took rock music to the next level with that Yaya's tour, like from 30 minute, like matching suits, rotating stage to like a show you intentionally go to. And then with the Dead and the whole San Francisco scene, that changes everything.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Well,
and so look at this. I've just picked a random Paul McCartney night from July 14th, 2019 at Dodger Stadium. He's 77 years old, and he plays Hard Day's Night, Junior's Farm, Can't Buy Me Love, Got to Get You Into My Life, Let Me Roll It, I've Got a Feeling, Let Him In, Maybe I'm Amazed, I've Just Seen a Face, In Spite of All the Danger, From Me to You, Love Me Do, Blackbird, Lady Madonna, Eleanor Rigby, Benefit of Mr. Kite, Something, Oh Bloody Oh Blood Out, Band on the Run, Back in the USSR, Let It Be, Live and Let Die, and Hey Jude. That is an incredible night.
Yeah. Oh, dude, so he played at Bonnaroo. And I like him, but I would never pay $150 to go see him. So we get there and we're in the pit, and like 45 minutes before the show, and I assume this is the same show you saw.
This is my favorite part. I know what you're going to say.
A DJ comes out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's weird. And the DJ starts mixing 45 seconds to a minute and a half of various Beatles songs. And he plays, I don't know, 30 songs before the set starts. And it's great. Like, it's so good. You're like, what Beatles songs are left? Like, this, like they've run through all of the good songs. And you're like, oh, wait, no. It's a long catalog of good Beatles material.
Like,
you don't have to worry. Like, that DJ could be there for 6 hours going through stuff, and McCartney would have plenty. Like, it was amazing. And just what you said, like, the physical stamina of that. He did a solo set. I mean, he did a 30 minutes in the middle where he's playing by himself. Like, it was insane.
Yeah.
And like, beautiful voice, great playing, band was amazing. Like, I can't
still
say
singing the original keys too, which
I know
most of that generation is not.
Yeah, totally. Wow. And also just so generous and kind. Like, he was really, really, at least good at acting like it. He seemed really psyched to be at Bonnaroo. He seemed really, really pleased about it. Yeah. Like, Jeff, Tim, and I saw the Police at Bonnaroo, and they were not psyched at all.
No.
Ding was like, welcome, Manchester, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Like, he had no idea where he was or what. Like, as if the 85,000 people that were there all lived in a town of 10,000 people.
Yeah,
like,
that was hilarious. They were there 5 seconds before showtime in the helicopter, for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I saw that tour when they played in L.A., the Police, and I thought the show was awesome.
It was fun. I saw it again with Elvis Costello opening up. I mean, it was, you know, top flight rock and roll, but it was
part of it is those songs.
There was no love for the crowd.
Yeah. No love for each other.
Yeah. Oh, no love for each other.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Whew. All right. Let's get this to the judges and see what they think. The judges are back. Look at this. Jeff Simons, I am going to your musical festival, aptly named the, what was it called?
The Tim Plain Memorial Music Festival.
I'm not going to say that weighed on me or the judges, but that is a lineup I want to see. And yeah, Bruce no Springsteen arguments. On the chill stage.
There's no losing here. These are, I mean, this is another one of those, like, come on now.
Come on now.
By the way, right. Rich and Clint, we've done this twice, and Tim chose the two of us from our podcast. You should go ahead and appeal to the East German judges because it's a problem.
The East German judges.
Clint, I love the fact that you're playing live again. Rich, are you playing live yet?
Clint and I are going to do some shows with the Sweet Remains starting probably in July or August.
Okay, July or August. Jeff, you're going to try and do live music again?
I got an offer. I have two offers. One to play in center field at a minor league baseball stadium in June, and then working on the CD release show for mid-September with Matt Jaffe, but date TBA. But we're circling in on something.
Well, I got to tell you, now that the vaccinations are coming in and you look at lineups like this, you're like, oh, my God, I can't wait to get back. To a concert. I can't wait to get back around people and we're dancing and we're singing and we're just loving live music again. I cannot wait.
Are you guys double vaxxed?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I thought he was going to ask, are you guys going on the road? I'm like, actually, Rich, I don't play an instrument. We could do it. Well, but we are doing a live podcast.
My wife and I just got back from Florida where there is no COVID.
Yeah, right. It's nice, right? God. That's a relief to find a place like that.
Jeepers. The most common COVID deaths happening are amongst 50-year-olds right now in Florida. 50-year-olds who don't believe in vaccinations. That's what the doctors are saying they're finding. People who get vaccinated ain't dying. They might still catch it, but they're not dying. It's rough. All right. Well, on that happy note,
Tim knows how to close it down. Mr. Sunshine,
thank you all for coming. It's been a lovely festival.
Thank you. Well done, y'all. Good job.
Congratulations, you guys, on your awesome run.
Yeah. Are you guys going to pop in and make comments tonight?
Tonight,
8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ben, you're controlling what those people can do in the room, right? You said you did this in academia. Yeah. Whether you can make comments or post pics or whatever.
I'm hoping for pure anarchy. I'm really hoping for like complete like lack of control. It'll be great.
Do you have your pick for 2020?
Me?
Yeah.
I do.
I'm set.
Ooh. All right. Let's go. Closing out with authority. Gentlemen, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Well done, y'all. Thanks.
See you later.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Hey, if you're having as much fun as we are, leave us a review on iTunes, give us a rating on Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to podcasts, give us a shout, and then check us out on Twitter or at our Facebook page, 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys.
Welcome to Sara Talk Solutions. Ladies and gentlemen, you've tuned into a bit of a different type of show. I'm Sara B, and I'm your host. You can find me on my IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA. I talk about amazing, relevant conversations and topics and what functions that goes on in this magical, wonderful, wonderful city of the City of Angels. My IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA.
Are you a fan of classic cinema or a young person who wants to discover the best films of all time? Do these legendary movies still hold up?
On the Generation Film Podcast, two guys who grew up when movies dominated the culture share a great film with a panel of young movie lovers and see how it plays for today's generation.
We discuss changes in storytelling, styles, representation,
the making of each film, its initial reception, and how its meaning has changed over the years.
Join us as we explore cinema classics across generations on Generation Film.
Electric acid. Electric acid.